Tune out. With Nevia by Moen, the spa shower that offers double the coverage using about half the water, making it look, sound, and feel totally different. Learn more at moen.com/Nevia.
Yeah, I'll pay you for it. What the fuck? That's a Chris-ism right there.
That's right.
I don't need you. I'll pay you for your time. What the fuck?
I stole that saying from Diamond Dave, apparently.
Yeah, no kidding. I like the fact that the commercial radio stations always faded that song out right before it got to that part. Sometimes, or now and again, they wouldn't, and you would actually hear that at the very end.
Yeah, and then they would, the DJ would get called into the program director's office immediately. You can't let that happen.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah. We got to play the censored version.
Yeah. Put a beep in there.
Didn't you hear what he said at the very end? He said, I'll pay you for it. What the fuck? What the fuck are you thinking letting that go out over the air?
Yeah. You're going to be fired for that.
Yeah, pal.
We're going to incur big fines.
Well, you sent something over, and I honored your request. I did not listen to this or even look okay. at it or check it out or anything. So, just to reiterate what we were talking about earlier in the show, if you're a David Lee Roth fan and you have not seen it, he did a very extensive interview on Joe Rogan this week.
Right.
And, man, is he a weird fucker.
He's a goof.
He is. He's a total goof. I mean, that guy totally lives in his own world for sure.
He definitely does. He's in his own head, and, you know, definitely the spoiled rock star that has way too much money and way too many people around him saying, oh, that's a great idea, Dave. Nobody reins him in.
No.
And hey, so be it. He's still out there doing it, well, I guess.
This is the only thing that, well, I can't say it's the only thing. This is one of the things I can definitely respect David Lee Roth for.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the guy never got bogged down in a relationship.
Mm-mm.
He's made millions of dollars, traveled the world, has done seemingly, if you listen to the interview, he's basically done everything he's ever wanted to do whenever he wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lived the lifestyle that if I were a successful business person or entertainment personality and made a lot of money in my life, he lives exactly the way that I would live. What I mean is the fact that he did not settle down with anybody,
right?
And he lived his life adventures,
mm-hmm,
whenever he chose to do it or however he chose to do it.
Sure, he did.
And, you know, the thing is you often hear about these Hollywood actors, stars, whatever, and they become very successful and they make a shit ton of money, and then they get bogged down with one person in a relationship, and then all you ever see in the tabloids is all this, you know, so-and-so is breaking up with so-and-so, and so-and-so is getting sued in divorce court for millions and millions of dollars and this and that. It's like, dude, you are rich, successful rock star, actor, whatever it is. Why are you getting married?
Yeah, that's just the dumbest thing.
You know, you could have naked bitches running in and out of your house 24/7 with the kind of scratch you make.
Yeah, but what good is that without the love?
Yeah, and it's just like you would have to live like Hugh Hefner. You know, it's just like, I got a nice mansion. I'm a successful actor or rock star or whatever your craft is. And you were successful. Right. You were one of the 0.001% in the population that got that lucky.
Yeah.
And then you you get married. And then you I don't get it. I never did get that, even as a young person. It's just like, I would be out there just traveling the world and living adventures and spending my money and enjoying my time. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. But in that regard, I'll have to give David Lee Roth props.
Sure.
Because you've never heard of him being in a long-term relationship and having a nasty breakup with some chick and, you know, having money issues or being sued or, you know, having any problems.
Yeah, no, he's lived a charmed life, that's for sure.
He has. I mean, as goofy as he might be, and the fact that he's 62 or 63 years old now?
Yeah.
And on the verge of probably doing a major arena tour again with Van Halen, if the rumors are true that they're coming back as the original four with Michael Anthony in tow.
Yeah.
The guy's going to make another, you know, he's going to bank another, you know,
100 million.
Well, I don't know, 100 million, but at least 25.
Yeah, I would think.
You know, personally, more. I mean, I don't know how much each person in a tour like that would get, what kind of a cut he would get. I mean, I don't know if, you know, they would split it four ways or he would be a hired gun or I don't know what their arrangement would be. But but if they launch a worldwide tour with the original lineup, he's probably going to bank, you know, he's probably going to pocket at least a good 25 mil.
Yeah, he's going to make a couple of bucks.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah. So, hey, good on him.
Yeah. Doing his thing, man.
Yeah. And again, how many times have you ever heard David Lee Roth in a scandal?
No, you really never have.
No. I
mean, the one time he got arrested for pot in Central Park?
Yeah, something like that.
But that's hardly a scandal. He got arrested for pot.
Yeah, big deal.
Yeah. It's the only thing I could think of with him getting fired from CBS, maybe.
Yeah, but you know, that just more or less was just a parting of the ways.
That's just a job.
It wasn't because he did something wrong. It was just like, this isn't the fit we were looking for.
Yeah, it's just because he stunk.
Yeah. But good on David Lee Roth. I mean, regardless of what you think of the guy.
Yeah.
That's a guy who's lived his life to the fullest.
Amen.
Yeah, so far, I mean, are you familiar with the story about the US Festival?
What about it? I mean, I know of it.
Well, you remember the US Festival of 1983, right?
Yeah, sure.
Well, Van Halen was like probably the biggest name in rock at that time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so when the US Festival came around and they were, you know, getting the lineup for this huge US Festival, David Lee Roth was like in the Amazon.
Okay.
And in order to get him back to the States in time, they couldn't find him because, you know, they didn't have cell phones back then.
Right, sure.
So he's like in the Amazon jungle, you know, floating down the Amazon River on a safari or something.
Right.
And basically the management had to figure out a way of relaying a message to him some way. And so they were able to like telegraph or shortwave radio some outpost along the Amazon River. They say, if you see this guy come along in his kayak or whatever the fuck they were, you know, right? Give him this message. You know,
VH2 to VH1, over?
Yeah. David Lee Roth, call home. Important message.
EVH1 to DLR1, over.
Yeah. And so they had to more or less shortwave radio a message somewhere along an outpost or some village to find him in the Amazon jungle to let him know, hey, you need to get back to the States because this US Festival is paying Van Halen $1 million for one performance.
Right. So bring your ass home, stupid.
Yeah. So it's an interesting story.
Yeah, no kidding.
But think about that. 1983, Van Halen got paid $1 million.
That's like 10 million now.
Yeah, for playing a show at the US Festival.
Playing 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, good on them.
So
probably still average at best.
Yeah, well, regardless, but you got to admit, they were a game changer in their day.
Well, they were. I would never take that away from them. I just don't understand the absolute worship.
Well, anyway, getting back to this whole thing, what am I doing here exactly?
I came across this video on Reddit.
Okay.
And it's just some guy singing Jump.
All right.
and I don't know why he's doing it or whatever, but it's what you expect. It's a guy singing Jump. But I wanted you to play back and forth. I want you to have two things ready. I want you to have this video ready, and I want you to have Jump ready from the Tokyo release, from the Live in Tokyo release.
Okay.
And I want you to kind of play a section of this and then play a section of it. And I want to see which you think is worse.
Okay.
Because I sat here, I did this like three times. I must have spent 45 minutes doing this and laughing my ass off.
Oh.
That David Lee Roth is worse now than a bad karaoke singer.
Some guy who just singing it.
And I'm telling you, he's a bad karaoke singer.
Okay.
So I'll tell you up front, but and you'll get a good... He's Jeffrey C. Music-esque.
Okay.
And, but playing it, play a piece and then play the Roth piece, and you are going to laugh your ass off at how similar this actually feels.
All right. So you basically want me to get the Tokyo Dome in concert?
Yes.
Okay, and you want me to play Jump?
Yes.
All right.
Play like a little bit of the other guy first.
Okay.
Start with the other guy, play some of him, and then flip over to Roth and then play some of him.
All right. I'm pulling up the Tokyo Dome here first.
Okay. All right.
Let's see, where is it? You said Jump. Oh, here we go.
It's okay. The last two.
Yeah, I got it. All right. Here's what's this guy's name? Andy?
What, Drop Andy or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's a karaoke singer singing Jump.
Yes.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Well, I get up and nothing gets me down. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest around.
Wow, he's way behind the music. He's way behind.
This guy had me rolling.
All right, I'll play a little more.
All right.
And I know, baby, just how you feel. You got to roll with the punches and get to what's real.
Couldn't be any more flat.
Okay, now play me some David Lee Roth on stage live.
All right, here we go.
Somebody want an encore?
The thing about that recording, and of course I don't know what's going on there, but the way that David Lee Roth is yelling, it's like he can't hear himself. You know what I mean? He can't tell, you know, where the music is, and he's just like yelling the words. It's like I'm convinced he has the ability to be able to smooth it out in more of a melodic way, But okay. but the way he's yelling the words, it's like he can't hear himself.
I'm glad you're convinced, because I'm completely not convinced.
No, I, you know, the way that he cuts off the words and he doesn't you know, sing it in a melodic way. And the way he's yelling the words, it's like he's trying to yell loud enough to where he can hear himself.
Okay, well, two things come to mind when you say that. Okay. Number one, this is the end of the show.
Yeah.
So if it was a technical problem, it should have been smoothed out by now.
Yeah, well, again, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I wasn't there. I don't know, but it just seems so choppy.
Because he stinks.
Well, I'm going to agree with you there. And I'm never, and I'm not even saying that I think David Lee Roth is a good singer or a better singer. It just seems to me, the way that that's recorded, it just seems like he can't hear himself.
All right, so now we haven't hit the chorus yet, but who would you listen to if you had to pick one? Top Andy or whatever his name is, or David Lee Roth?
Well, for a laugh, because, well, see, again, I'm listening to an actually David Lee Roth, and I'm going, wow, David Lee Roth stinks.
Yeah.
But then I listen to this Top Andy, and I go, holy shit, this guy is so bad, it's funny. So for a laugh, I would listen to Top Andy. For someone who I think is sad and pathetic, I would listen to David Lee Roth.
There you go. Perfect.
So here's some Top Andy.
All right.
Can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine. I ain't the worst that you see.
Yes, you are, Top Andy. I'm sorry to tell you. You are the worst that I've seen. Next to David Lee Roth.
Well, can't you see what I mean? Wow, might as well jump. Might as well jump.
All right. Pulled the note out longer there. He didn't like chop it off and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but he's terrible.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't good or that it's good. It's just that he's actually singing along with the tune, whether he's doing it off key or terrible. But at the beginning of the song, it sounded like he was trying to yell over the monitor so he could actually hear himself singing.
See, I just disagree with you. I think he's not trying.
Okay. You're just thinking he's lazy.
I think he's extremely lazy. Okay. I'm going to tell you why I think that.
And I'm going to agree with you.
Because right now, you, me, anybody that's listening, without any music playing at all, could sing the words to that song closer to being in tune.
Yeah, and I would agree with you, yes.
We just know the song. You know, I mean, look. Can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine. Right? I'm close to in tune.
Yeah, because you're singing it in a melodic way. He's barking it out like he's yelling.
Yeah, he's like,
he's not.
Can't you see me standing here?
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. You're singing it in a melodic fashion. He's just barking out the words.
Yeah, he's not trying.
All right.
He's not trying.
All right, let's go back with Top Andy here.
Go ahead and jump. Go ahead and jump. Whoa, hey you, who said that? Baby, how you been?
Who is that, Bob Dylan trying to sing Jump?
I love this guy.
Hey, you, baby, how you been?
You say you don't know, oh, you won't know until you begin. So can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine.
He can't get the words out fast enough.
Yeah, like his mouth won't move fast enough or something.
See me stand here, back against the record machine.
I ain't the worst that you see. Now can't you see what I mean? Well, might as well jump. Go ahead and jump. Might as well jump. Go ahead and jump. Jump.
Jump, jump, jump around.
The Mac Daddy makes you.
Jump around, jump around. Well, here's a question for you.
All right.
Were you a Van Halen fan during this era at all?
Sure.
Okay. How into Van Halen were you at this point?
Oh, I really liked Van Halen. I saw him, twice with Roth.
Okay.
In the Roth era. And, you know, a lot had to do with because I was so young. But, you know, and then... I've seen them since once with Roth, and I've seen them, I think, three or four times with Sammy Hagar.
Okay. Well, the question I had, and I was in college at the time when this album came out, the
1984
album came out. I was in, you know, I was working at the record store and in college at the same time.
Okay.
And, you know, MTV, of course, was picking up momentum, and, you know, that was probably the most popular way of delivering new music.
Sure.
Was through music videos.
Mm-hmm.
And do you recall or did you experience any of the backlash from your friends, you know, talk amongst your friends about the incorporation of the keyboards?
Oh, they hated it. And I didn't mind it because it's really not that prominent other than Jump.
Right.
I mean, it's not prominent on like Hot for Teacher or Panama or any of those. Or Panama a little bit, I guess, but you know, it's not that prominent anywhere else but Jump.
Well, did you get into the whole debate discussion amongst the friends? Man, Van Halen's selling out, man.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
I know, it was a long time ago, but
probably. I would think some of my friends were not happy. Because to be honest, that came on the back of Pretty Woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Diver Down came out just a year before. And people were not happy with Pretty Woman either. You know, because that was, they were like, what is this? This isn't Van Halen. This is, you know, cover song.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I would think that we did have some arguments about it at the time.
Because I remember, you know, at the time, the rock records that were dominating the charts at the time was Def right. Leppard, Quiet Riot, and then on the classic rock side was ZZ Top with Eliminator. Sure. I mean, right. That Eliminator sold a lot of CDs.
It's a good record.
You know, and then Van Halen comes out and starts playing these keyboards because that was the lead off single was Jump.
Yeah.
And everybody was just like, what? What the fuck?
Yeah, but then they followed real quick with Panama, and it put everybody at ease.
Yeah,
it?
but the thing is, MTV Play obviously gained them a whole new audience as well, because you got to remember what was going on at that same time. Bands like Eurythmics were becoming real popular. NXS was coming up real big.
Well, synth pop in general was big.
It was real big. Thompson Twins, Flock of Seagulls, Duran Duran. Yeah, you're right. All that stuff was happening. And it was just like, oh, Van Halen's just trying to be, you know, trendy.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. And people are saying, I'll Wait is a big keyboard song. Yeah, I agree. Of course it's a big keyboard song. I didn't say the rest of the record, I don't think. I think I said most of the rest of the record was not keyboard big. And I'll stand by that. I don't think there is most of the rest of the record is just guitar driven, right?
Well, you know, there was they had a current sound. It wasn't just it just wasn't guitar, bass and drums anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there was some processed songs in that, even though it may not have been specifically keyboard. But, you know, I remember that only because I was exposed to it in the music store.
Right.
And people who were coming in to buy the new Van Halen and stuff. And, you know, obviously MTV had already debuted the video and it was getting radio play and stuff. It's, oh, man, I can't believe it. This is my favorite band. Look what the fuck they're doing, man. You know, because I went to school in Lima, which at the time, you know, before it became a real dump, it was a very blue collar city because General Dynamics was there with the tanks production and Ford was there. And, you know, it was a very blue collar thing. And the blue collar people who would gravitate to a Van Halen were just like, oh, man, what the fuck? You know, because they looked at. They looked at bands like I said, the Eurythmics or Thompson Twins or Flock of Seagulls. That's a bunch of fag bands, man.
Yeah.
What happened to Van Halen? I can't believe they did that.
Now they sound like the Human League.
Yeah, well, really, it does. They sound like Soft Cell. What the hell, man?
Soft Cell.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I just remember that so distinctly.
What was Soft Cell song? Is that Tainted Love?
Tainted Love.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Don't you want me?
Wasn't that the same era as like Rock Me Amadeus? And
yeah,
like
of course. Too? Yeah, it was. Falco.
Bunch of bad music out in that time frame.
That was the era.
Yeah.
And Van Halen jumped right in there. Speaking of jump,
I'm not gonna lie and say I didn't own every one of these records that I'm talking
but and it would, believe me, working at Camelot Music, which you know is FYE today, but working at Camelot Music, we sold a shit ton of records.
Yeah, I'll take the Van Halen and the Lover Boy. they probably took that second Lover Boy album and the Van Halen at the same time.
And, you know, surprisingly, you know what another one that we couldn't keep enough, and this was just on the cusp of CDs, so it was it was records and tapes, okay? Mm-hmm. We sold a lot of tapes.
Sure.
But surprisingly enough, one of the hard rock tapes at that time was Crocus Headhunter.
Oh, yeah.
We sold a shit ton of that CD, or record, or tape, rather.
I saw that show on Headhunter tour with Sammy Hagar as the opener.
Yeah, so lots and lots of Headhunter tapes. We sold Crocus out every week.
Yeah, because Screaming in the Night was just a huge song for them.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that was a big, big tune. Boy, they really... Talk about a band that would have been huge if they would have had the look for MTV. Because they just didn't look cool. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big Crocus fan, but man, they did not look cool in that video.
Yeah, that Mark Starace had the big afro do going on there,
and he was wearing all red. He looked like Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, he had like a red leather jumpsuit on or something.
Yeah, with a big dumb fro.
He looked like Richard Simmons in a jumpsuit.
He did.
Hey, Alan Kilcaller, you're on the air.
Yeah, all those bands you just named, all that keyboard shit is so pussified.
It is pussified. He waited online just to say that.
Of course he did.
What's wrong with you, Lou? Lou, I expect better from you.
Yeah,
Lou. Pussified is going to wear itself out if you call every time and say pussified.
And I'm gonna say this because the chat room is calling me out on it. I'm not denying that I owned every one of those records. I think I said that. I have said a million times that if the chicks liked it, I liked it. That was my mantra when I was in high school. I listened to all that shit. Corey Hart, The Romantics, Starship, Honeymoon Suite. Pick a band. If the chicks liked it, I liked it. Madonna, listen to all of it.
Well, the interesting thing is when I was working at the record store, we would receive our shipment on Thursday.
Okay.
And we had to hold everything in the back until Tuesday, because Tuesday was brand new release day.
Right.
So the record drops on that day. So we basically had the new stuff 4 days in advance.
Ooh, and you snuck a copy, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, we did. We would listen to it, you know, depending on what it was. We would get a copy for the store. It was the store copy.
Right.
And then, you know, of course, we would play it through the day, whatever it was. So each one of us, whoever was working on the shift, we were allowed to play one of the new records.
Okay.
So obviously when it was my turn, I was playing like the new Queensryche.
Right.
The Dokken. I was playing Breaking the Chains.
Sure.
The Def Leppard, the Quiet Riot. I didn't play the Crocus, though, because I, to be honest with you, when I saw Crocus, I was like, I wasn't really familiar with them at all.
Sure.
So I didn't do that, but it was surprising the contrast between the hard rockers who would come in, and we would sell out of the Def Leppard, Pyromania, the Quiet Riot, Metal Health, the Crocus. Every week, both records and tapes.
Then you had a kid like me that would come in the store and would go, "Hey, do you got Asia Alpha?" And you'd sell it to me, and on my way out the store, you'd be like, "Faggot."
Yeah. Well, well, the interesting thing is that we had a whole section, one whole section of, we called it New Wave.
Okay.
And that's where all the, you know, the MTV records went into there, the Eurythmics and the Thompson Twins and all that stuff all went into one section. So for people like you who may have come in there shopping, you didn't have to look around for it. It was all in one bin or one, you know, section.
Right.
You know,
you're like right over there, sweetheart.
The favorite.
Kenny got work. No fear.
The underdog.
Look at that pass. Slam it home.
The Cinderella.
Jack for the web, and he grabs it.
But the only label these 10 teams really want.
And three goes, and then maybe the exclamation mark.
Champion.
Showtime. Big turnover, and a bigger dunk. And one.
Can you believe it?
The NBA 2K League Playoffs, delivered by DoorDash. August 20th through 22nd.